said, coming from this, from an astrophysics point of view, but trying to understand some of the basic physical concepts behind all of this. Now let's move on. I'm going to skip that, because that's the usual statements about things, but come to this graph, which I think is essentially what Catherine presented, and with the continuously rising carbon dioxide curve on the bottom, and the upper curve, the temperature curve. And we see, of course, that there's not a direct relation. There's something else going on, presumably some natural effects. And the one that's sort of many people have noticed is in the last 13, 16 years, the temperatures have been essentially constant while the carbon dioxide has continued to rise. This is already a bit of a problem for climatologists, even 6 years ago, and they worried about this, but said, well, 10 years you can probably understand, but after 15 years, there's going to be a real question about the models. Well, of course, we're now into that 15-year regime, and the usual response, well, you've just got to wait longer. And that's the question. How long does one have to wait until one sees things agreement? Now, one of the particularly puzzling things about this present plateau in the temperatures is looking at this graph, and I think we've already had mention of this in the talks, that carbon dioxide indeed does absorb the outward radiation from the Earth, the infrared radiation, and it does produce a warming of the Earth, the troposphere, and eventually the surface layers of the Earth. No doubt about that. The question is, how much? Is it enough to be seriously alarming? That's the question. And we, of course, look at the models, and as here presented by the Intergovernmental Panel. And it's these kind of graphs that we have to address, because these are the ones that the politicians and government officials, these are the reports they look at and try to base policies on them. And at least from my point of view as a scientist, things are not agreeing very well. How do we test a model? How do we validate a model? You don't do it by just comparing with other computer models. You don't do it by comparing with the observations that you've had in the past that have helped fix the parameters of a model. You do it by trying to predict. And here's the effort in making the prediction. And that aspect, that key thing about validating a model is not going very well at the moment. And in fact, many climatologists are quite worried about this. And here I've listed up to 13 different reasons of what effects might be causing this plateau. There's no time to go into all of these. The point is that these are all the things that the models were, we were told the models were pretty reliable and we could base public policy on them. But no, all of a sudden we have a whole lot of new things that weren't in the models. And how is it that the models could be going wrong? Well, my understanding, I mean, no doubt about it, there's got to be some contribution from the carbon dioxide. But it turns out when you do the basic calculation of how much the heating you should get, you get about half to a third of the observed heating. And so to make the models fit the assumption that carbon dioxide was the dominant cause of the heating, they assumed a certain amount of positive feedback. And that's the big uncertainty in this, that it even in principle could be negative, and certainly it looks like the feedback isn't as much, and in fact even the IPCC reports admit that the feedback may be uncertain. Let's go into another possible contribution to this, and that's the sun. The sun, of course, provides the basic energy that powers the whole system, but the sun also is variable, an 11-year cycle up and down. And we see here that 1980 to 2000, the sun was pretty active, but just in the last, since then, it went through a minimum that was much shallower than previous ones, many more spotless days, and the present maximum is much weaker. Is this affecting climate? There's no doubt that there are effects. Exactly what they are, we aren't 100% sure, but we look back in the past in the sunspot record, and we see that there were times in the past when the sun, the solar activity was very weak. And they happened to coincide with some of the very coolest periods, the so-called Little Ice Age. And even during that Dalton minimum, things were unusually cool. Whether this is going to produce another cool period, I don't know, but it's entirely possible. In fact, just listing some of the possible reasons that the sun could contribute to changes in climate, whether it's a change in the cosmic ray flux or a change in the UV intensity and the ozone absorption. let me go on then and say where I think we are. The climate models have predicted rising temperatures, and they aren't rising at the moment. In fact, that's one of the problems. We know that they should be rising, just the CO2 has to be producing some heating in the atmosphere. So there's something going on that's at least counteracting that known amount of heating. and so my view of climate models, they're very useful in testing hypotheses, understanding physical processes, but they're not reliable at this stage for public policy. And in fact, a whole other effect is whole chaos theory. Certainly there must be chaotic processes, turbulence and convection involved in climate. None of that's in the models. And so my view is we don't know what's going to happen to the temperature in the future. It could start rising again if we continue to add CO2, but it also could stay level, or it could decrease as the as solar activity changes. And and the final comment there, that we really do not know what the relative contributions of CO2 and natural processes are to the global temperatures. Well, given that uncertainty, I think that it raises some very important questions for Christians and anyone else concerned about environment. And I think some of these questions are there regardless of what you think the temperatures are going to do in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And for instance, should we buy insurance policies and think just in case that warming is going to continue, but how much? Because it's going to be costly. And when we think of what other countries are doing, is it going to have any effect? In all of this discussion, are we ignoring other environmental problems that may be equally important? We don't have the resources to deal with all of them. Are some of our current efforts really doing more harm than good? Is all this subsidizing of biofuels? Or are we trying to oppose pipelines when it's certainly more dangerous and more costly to transport oil by rail car? And how important should we put on zero population growth? Let me add some more questions. What about long distance travel? I mean, if we're really concerned about global warming, why are we attending meetings like this? We've come across the ocean, across all the way across the country. How many meetings do we go to and not worry about our carbon footprint? What about the effects on more storms, more extreme weather events. The countries affected are asking for compensation because they blame on us. What about what the CO2 is doing to the pH of the oceans? Is that a problem? And one more. Do we really expect developing countries to have lower standard of living than ours? Well, then there's going to be a lot of extra CO2. And let me finish my general conclusions. My view is that the science is not yet settled. We do not understand climate well enough that we think we can control it. And the thing that I think worries me most about all of these discussions is this idea that we do science by consensus. And the idea that you anyone who disagrees with you is of a lower form of life. That consensus is never a validation of science. Just because everyone agrees, I can remember when there was general agreement that gastric ulcers were caused by anxiety and not by bacteria. In my view, validation of any science comes by questioning every hypothesis, every theory, every model, and comparing them with experiments and observations. Thank you.
Well, discussion. Questions?
Closer so I can hear.
One thing I'd like to hear some discussion about is your data set for temperature, and maybe that's something you and Catherine can talk about later. But it seems like temperature is just one piece of what we use to have evidence of climate change. There are other things like ice volumes and actual changes in ecosystems, species migrations, extinctions. And many of those things are also indicating that dramatic climate change.
Well, yeah, temperatures, it's a very risky thing. It's an intensive thermodynamic variable, and averages have no physical meaning. So you've got to remember that. So I'm not that wed to temperatures. It's the one that gets most presented to the public. And there are other things, but I have some interest in glaciers, and I... of late, the latest evidence is the Himalayan glaciers, most of them are stable of late, in the last decade. So, you can have lots of discussions, again, species migration, well, one has to look into that and see what other effects. So, I think we should try and look at the whole picture and agree. How do we do?
I'm just not understanding what's wrong with having a consensus of experiments be the perceived norm.
No, I'm sorry. What's wrong with a consensus? I'm sorry. My hearing is lousy.
Consensus is important in science. Why do you denigrate that?
Be careful. It affects, of course. But just because 90%+ say something is so, is not how you decide science. I said I gave my example about gastric ulcers. Everyone agreed that it was anxiety
But then how do you decide science if you don't do that?
If you don't do that, you first of all, make sure that you can respond to every rational criticism of your particular theory. And don't denigrate the people who are criticizing it. That, I mean, the fact that some people in this whole global warming thing have to resort to claiming consensus to say that we must be right is not science. I think we just have to, that's not science, in my view. It's comparing with observations and experiment.
Yes.
And if you don't have enough experiment, then you have to admit that you don't know.
Good. Well, thank you for your